I would trade him if I could.
I don't think many people liked it, to be honest. I don't care.
Last year didn't really do well for anybody.
We should probably delete all of this.
By the laws of the podcast gods, we owe an answer.
Reporting the Highline with Rabbi in Red. Talking the rapids and turning heads. With questions from you and analysis. In your car or in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the Highline.
Hello, Rapids fans, and welcome to the final episode of Holding the Highline with Rabbi in Red in the 2020 Rapids preseason. We are sponsored by Roughneck Scarves and Icarus FC. MLS is back. The Colorado Rapids still do not have a TV deal, but Rabbi Mark Goodman, we are recording on the eve of the first proper Burgundy Friday of the 2020 season, and we are about to preview a battle between two defensive teams with no offenses. Surely the most epic game of the opening weekend of MLS 2020.
So good, it's probably not going to be shown on most televisions. How's it going, Matt?
I'm good. I'm still, as you might be able to hear, dear listeners and co-host Mark, I'm finally recovering from my cold. I feel fine. I've gone to the gym. I've gone skiing. I feel fine. My voice just sounds kind of nasally. I'm like, if Matt Pollard was a dog toy and that dog toy, like the squeaky part, got broken in, and now it's to the point where it's like, it's kind of broken, but the dog's still playing with it, but the squeak mechanism's clearly broken and we can buy him a new toy. That's how I sound right now.
Yeah, I think we need to buy Matt a roughneck scarf so that he can wear it around his neck in like triple warmth factor to get that voice to kind of open back up and start working again, you know. Because you can make a roughneck scarf in any kind. You could make one for any kind of illness that you have, you know, for a sore throat. You could make one for any upcoming viruses that may be arriving from foreign countries. COVID-1997 or something like that to kind of commemorate the year in which your MLS team came into the league as a portmanteau with an illness. Maybe it's inappropriate to kind of make light of a possibly fatal illness, but you know, mostly it's not a fatal illness. I think it's, you know, if we can make jokes about the flu, we can probably make jokes about coronavirus. Although some teams in Mexico refer to call it the coronavirus, they'll call it only the Tecatito virus. That's an inside joke for about 8 people who follow Liga MX.
There's some deep cuts there, Mark. I'm going to quickly try and transition this because that's a rabbit hole that we could go down way further. That's probably going to get us in trouble and might get us in trouble with our sponsors, and we're not going to actually do that. So let us address one form of illness, of which, Mark, you and I both have, that is seasonal, is, as far as we know, not going away anytime soon, and could be extremely more intensified depending on whether or not Carlos Vela scores another goal in 32 minutes plus stoppage time, and that is CONCACAF Champions League. 3 MLS teams are already through to the quarterfinals. We have Atlanta United, Montreal Impact, and who am I forgetting, Mark?
NYCFC.
Oh, and NYCFC, all 3 of whom played non-Mexican teams. And then right now we've got LAFC and Seattle Sounders kind of battling in really close games, but also with some away goals math to account for that. By the time you are hearing this, listeners, you will probably know the outcome of those 2 games. But Mark, give us your general thoughts on the current state of CCL and what it means for an MLS team trying to freaking win this thing.
I writing for American Soccer Analysis, I've been for the last, like, 3 months, I've adopted three teams because they basically need me to adopt three teams. I've adopted the Colorado Rapids for obvious reasons. I adopted LAFC because I grew up in LA and have been to LAFC games a couple times, and I follow the team decently. And then I've adopted Orlando City FC, SC, because literally nobody else wants to. And I hope it should be nice to be able to actually watch a game in the Eastern Conference on my own time schedule, as opposed to watching Rapids games like 2 hours later than I really would like to. But so I've done a lot of work previewing LAFC, and they're really good. And one thing that I can say off of tonight, I think the big question that was going into this season for them before this game was their fullbacks. They replaced both fullbacks, and tonight their left back, Diego Palacios, who's I think 21 years old and from Ecuador, he just looks spectacular. He's been just absolutely phenomenal. A little physical, but pretty good. LAFC's big problem is that they're weak at one of their center back positions, but they have a because they got rid of Walker Zimmerman to Nashville, but they've got a huge war chest of GAM to play with, so it's very likely that they will upgrade that. I don't think LAFC is going through. They're down a goal right now to Leon, and even if they even it up, that would just take the game into penalty kicks. So, and they look like they really were out of the box at a million miles an hour for the first half an hour, and you know, you just can't go that speed the whole game. But it does not feel, on the broader sense about all of CCL, it does not feel like this is MLS's year to do it. NYCFC is not going to get past Tigres from Monterrey. Seattle might make a nice deep run, but it really depends on how they treat CCL. And Montreal is probably not going to do it either. So LAFC probably not going to make it out of this round, let alone to the next round. But you never know. If they can, if they survive this round, they have the horses to go the whole distance if they can also upgrade a center back. What are your thoughts, Matt?
I mean, I like, let's throw Montreal out just because they're a weird situation, having won the Canadian Cup last year and obviously being in massive transition with Thierry Henry back in MLS coaching for the first time. And then also, you know, Ignacio Piatti, you know, leaving a week before the tournament was supposed to start. So if I'm just talking about Atlanta, NYCFC, Seattle, LAFC, who I would say last season were the top two teams overall in each of the conferences within MLS. Both of them, all four of them, I think are collectively excellent on the attacking side. I think they all have attacking playmakers who in one form or another can single-handedly take over a game and completely influence it. Obviously, it's more of a goal scorer in the case of LAFC with Carlos Vela, and then obviously Joseph Martinez with Atlanta United, and then it's more of an intricate playmaker at number 10 in the colloquial sense in the form of Nico Lodero with the Sounders, and then Maxi Morales with New York City FC. Kind of surprisingly, I would say New York City FC kind of has the best chance in this tournament if I just, you know, on paper, not accounting for the fact that Seattle has the can go the furthest without having to play a Mexican team. I believe it's mathematically possible for them to not have to face a Mexican team. Assuming MLS teams beat Mexico teams the first opportunity, Seattle will not have to face a Mexican team potentially until the final. Might be wrong on that. It's been a while since I've looked at the bracket, but you know, all the other teams, I have serious concerns about what they're doing at the center back position. You know, Seattle Sounders basically had a line change at their center back role. I thought it was really curious, not necessarily the decision to transfer Walker Zimmerman, the decision to move him to an MLS expansion team within your own conference, nor the price range is, you know, a pretty decent return, you know, $1.25 million in GAM with some performance incentives, but also the fact that you're prepping for CCL, you're halfway through preseason, and then you move one of your most important center backs. So if I just look at LAFC in the first leg, for example, when they lost 2-0 in Leon, they looked like a team who basically had Eddie Segura, I think I was two new players playing at fullback, a new center back, and then Vermeer, who was a non-native English speaker. playing in his first year, in his first time in MLS with other players who are potentially also having to translate languages. And then also with Atlanta, just with what's going on with Miles Robinson and his health and the fact that Atlanta might be playing some games in CCL midweek, not at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Every single other team, I have concerns about them on some level defensively. And New York City FC, if nothing else I know, Maxime Cheneau and Alexander Callens are a top five pairing from a center back standpoint. And, you know, Sean Johnson is outside looking in on the U.S. national team and a top five goalkeeper in MLS. And I think once they open up and are finally in Yankee Stadium, that's a weird dimension for even most MLS teams to go to. Most Eastern Conference teams have gotten used to it right now. I have no idea what that looks like if Tigres has to go play that game on the road and how they even deal with those conditions for the first time, potentially being a night game with a little bit of weather, probably not some snow into March in New York City, but that's a weird environment for a team that has a number of different players who can kill you on the attack, is a really good attacking team, and then also just has their defensive continuity from last season. That said, I agree with you, Mark. Like, we've seen this TV show before. We know how it's going to go and everything. And so I'm waiting for the, you know, the inevitable break your heart. Like we see, you know, like watching a Twilight marathon, you know, with like the kid with the superpowers who sends people to the cornfield. And you're like, no, mom and dad, don't do the thing to upset him to get him sent to the cornfield. All these MLS teams are getting sent to the cornfield, and it's probably going to be Tigres versus Club America. And I've just emotionally accepted that. And so I'm prepping. My happiness is defined by expectations. I therefore have no expectations, so I'm preemptively setting myself up for disappointment, which I think is a good reference frame to be in generally as a soccer fan, certainly when looking at CCL Fever, and as we might get to as well later in the show, Mark, a not unhealthy nor irregular feeling to have as someone who cares and covers the Colorado Rapids. As I sip my tea to help me get over my sore throat. Okay, Mark, let's get to some fun news. The Rapids signed a player. This is a guy who we hyped up in preseason, who got some minutes in preseason, and like top 10 draft picks for the Colorado Rapids of past, has earned a roster spot and will be probably a decently used backup in 2020, and that is Jeremy Kelly. Mark, for me right now, is the Keegan Rosenberry hamstring insurance. He is signed as an MLS rookie. Mark, your thoughts on Kelly making the roster?
It's great for him, UNC player, so I got to watch him a little bit, although you can't watch all 22 players on the field. I got to watch him a little bit because I got to watch a lot of ACC soccer last year. And he's a solid player. The Rapids typically haven't really needed a lot out of their backup right back. I can remember fondly and also sadly, Dennis Castillo, the Rapids drafted, and he didn't quite wind up getting a whole lot of minutes for Colorado before he eventually got returned to his native Costa Rica. Although he was a U.S. Player for our purposes because he's a dual international player. Yeah, Kelly probably will get somewhere, you know, short of 400 minutes. He will, if he's lucky, spend a lot of time getting loaned down to Colorado Springs. That's really exciting. It's just good to have the cover back there. It's, I'm always happier for the player to be able to make the team than I am for necessarily the Rapids, who are unlikely to get a whole lot out of him. The Rapids tend to sign one or two players out of the super draft every year and make use of one and not make use of the other. And this looks like the guy who's going to not get made use of. The other guy who I just want to mention before we move on, who trialed with the Rapids, hasn't been signed by the Rapids, all's gone quiet about him, is Robin Afamifumina, who is a defender. The Rapids have been playing him a little bit on the wing, a little bit, I think, in central defense, or center defensive midfield, to see if he would play there. And Afamifumina, out of the University of Virginia, grew up in the Borussia Mönchengladbach Academy. And, you know, I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to wind up doing with him, if anything. And if he doesn't end up there, I'm excited to see which USL team may wind up picking him up. What are your thoughts on Kelly, and what are your thoughts on Afamafuma, Matt?
I think he's got a better solid chance to maybe get some minutes at the US at the MLS level than maybe you think, Mark. I think the one benefit that you have is kind of with everything that went on, and you know, we'll get to Seb Anderson's situation. You know, you didn't really have a whole lot of other options at right back going into this season. You know, obviously, you know, we talked about Anthony Hudson, you know, rolling out, you know, pretty much everybody and their mother in 2018 and really none of them actually working. And then, you know, the Rapids kind of serendipitously, you know, get a really good price for one Keegan Rosenberry. And yeah, Seb Anderson could have played in a couple games, but Rosenberry was solid. He was consistent. He provided security and stability to a position where there was none of that in the previous season. And so it was just kind of, he was the ride or die guy at that position. And so it's kind of nice now having somebody, you know, who was at a good ACC team for a while, who maybe won't light anything up, won't be anything special, but we kind of forget Keegan Rosenberry went to college. And so, you know, I think if nothing else, this is an option for a guy who can play 400 to 500 minutes, probably play most of those, you know, first two or three games in the Open Cup if the Rapids get that far, maybe a preseason, a midseason friendly or something or what have you, start, you know, that third game in 8 days, you know, with an Open Cup somewhere in there. So Keegan Rosenberry can, you know, get some lighter minutes as well. You know, he's just, last season it was, you had to play Keegan Rosenberry because the team was trying to crawl back into the playoffs. He was your best option. You knew what you were going to get out of him. God forbid anything happened to him. Now, if nothing else, Jeremy Kelly is Keegan Rosenberry insurance. You don't have to play Rosenberry every single game. So, you know, if there's maybe a slight injury concern, and yeah, he can probably play, but he might get something to where we have to take him out at 70 minutes now. No, let's just throw out Jeremy Kelly and see what he can do for a particular game, and worst case scenario, that's just a little bit less mileage off of Keegan Rosenberry. And so I think that's a nice place to be in terms of where Kelly is, having made the team. That's a nice position to be at for the coaching staff. If it comes to that point, it'd be nice for Keegan Rosenberry, even though he's a solid competitor and he was absolutely floored to get an opportunity to play every single minute, and certainly he'll be want to be an Iron Man on this team. But, you know, the Rapids have options at center back, and now they have an option at right back. And if nothing else, Jeremy Kelly is right on par with a Declan Wynn, you know, can provide to the Rapids in 2020, and Kelly's just able to be around and sort of, you know, learn via osmosis and being in training in a professional environment to then be a usable piece in 2021, then I think it's a win for all parties. Let's move on to some actual loan news that we have, Mark. Some of this is a little bit old. Some of this was kind of a long time coming, but the Rapids have actually formalized stuff as they're now into their final week of training and prep for an actual competitive game. Matt Hundley has been loaned to Memphis 901 FC of the USL Championship, and the Rapids have also sent four players down to the Colorado Springs Switchback. Forward Nicky Jackson, Sebastian Anderson, center back Abdul Guatubaye, and then goalkeeper Abe Rodriguez, who they recently signed to a homegrown deal. And then pretty consistently with all of these deals, Mark, there, under the terms of the loan deal, the Rapids have a right to recall the player at any point during the remainder of the season as long as they're under the MLS roster compliance. Porrick Smith knows how to dot his I's and cross his T's, so I don't see there's any problem with that, with all the other homegrowns that the Rapids are able to move around to supplementary roster spots in any case. But effectively, this is a loan down potentially for the season, and if any injuries or anything comes up or the schedule gets congested, the Rapids can bring back any one of these five players at any time. I would presume, similar to Nicky Jackson last year, the fact that Matt Hundley is going now significantly down the mountain in terms of altitude. I don't know off the top of my head how high Memphis is above sea level. And then also being a one time zone over and a not insignificant flight away, that he's probably with Memphis for most of the season. And, you know, maybe, if nothing else, Pork can probably text, and Pork and Robin can probably text Tim Howard to see how he's doing. The other four guys, you know, I would assume, you know, I have a good living situation, probably with a roommate who's a Switchbacks player down in the Springs, and if anything comes up, you know, they can commute one way or the other. We've seen that before, but this is something that I think is beneficial for all five of these players, Mark. I think all five of these players need a little bit more minutes. They've all proven on some level, either in intermittent opportunities in MLS or previously in the USL, that they can be effective at this level. If we have any Switchbacks supporters who are listening to the show, you are getting four players who should be in competition for, maybe not Abe Rodriguez just because given his age, but you know, he should be the backup goalkeeper. You know what Abdul Guatabaya is going to bring you. Nicky Jackson can score at this level, and Seb Anderson showed enough at the MLS level to where I think he should be able to get, you know, 1,000 minutes, and depending on his position, at the very least contribute to both phases of play, or all three phases of play at the USL level. This is good for the Switchbacks. This is good for the Rapids. This is good for the future of all four of these players. I'm just really curious to see what happens, and do any of them play well enough such that when an opportunity arises for them to get called back up to the Rapids, is there an opportunity for them to actually do something? Because we saw Nicky Jackson last year play really, really well in Charlotte, but then didn't really get any opportunities the one or two times that he came up with the Rapids. Mark, I'll stop ranting. Your thoughts on all of this, all of these players, and all of these press release newses.
I think you said it really well. I don't think there's a huge amount that I can add to it. I'll just add three minor points. Point one, the Switchbacks were bad last year. They, adding a couple academy players may or may not help them in any appreciable way. But I think, hopefully they'll have built a slightly better team for this year. The Western Conference in the USL is really good. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for a high level challenge for those four Rapids players. Hopefully they will get run. Hopefully they will get starts. But like, you know, they're going to have to face off against teams like Phoenix and Sacramento, who are really like MLS, you know, 1.5 level players. They're almost good enough to be in the league. And they're definitely better than teams like, say, Cincinnati, who are hot garbage on a stick this year. Point two, and this is a little bit negative, which, you know, it's early in the season. We don't like to go negative, but I have real concerns about Alan Koch as the head coach for the Switchbacks. Tactically, he had a lot of questions people were asking about him last year. But more importantly for Rapids fans, I have real questions as to whether Alan Koch is going to be able to develop young players in a positive way. It would be really good. We've got hopes, but I don't know if it's going to happen. And then the third and final thing, just a funny thing to add, is I think those guys are often going to be brought up to sit on the bench, or they're going to be on the bench for a couple weeks, and then they're going to be sent down to get a little bit of stretching of the legs. So my advice is to rent a 4-bedroom house in Castle Rock or possibly further south in order to make it easier on the commute, especially since 25 can really be a pain in the butt, as you know, Matt.
This has been Real Estate, or Colorado Front Range Real Estate with Rabbi and Red. No, I definitely hear you out, Mark. I'll lump these five players collectively into two pots. Nicky Jackson and Abdul Guatubaye, just from an age standpoint, are about to enter their prime of their careers based on all the data that we have about performance for players. And I think there's a very real possibility that we've regularly seen other instances of these sorts of players who get an opportunity at the MLS level, aren't able to consistently perform at an MLS level, and then they kind of just get loaned out, sit on the bench, get loaned out, sit on the bench until that contract runs out. But then they are locked into, if they so pursue it, a, you know, full-time career just jumping from team to team. In the case of Nicky Jackson, you know, getting 10 goal seasons in the USL level, for depending on the situation, and Abdul Guatubaye probably being a center back somewhere at a mid-table team in the USL. And then you've got the three other players, all teenagers, as far as I'm concerned. Holy crap, did LAFC score yet? Oh my God! Let's go! MLS! Okay, LAFC just scored, so we're now 2-2 on aggregate. Holy cow. So in any case, and then the other three players, Mark, you know, I would say they're like that, not top, but upper level. I'm going to use a baseball analogy. Forgive me here, folks. You know, that upper mid-level prospect that you get where as soon as the roster expands towards the end of the MLB season, they get added to the 40-man roster, but then they're constantly moving up and down, say, starting in AA. As soon as they're ready, they're going to AAA. So, you know, I would almost view for Seb Anderson, for Abe Rodriguez, and for Matt Hundley, this is almost being, you know, this is getting sent down to AAA, quote, for assignment, end quote. Mark, your thoughts on what this means in terms of just a development standpoint for those three players, vis-a-vis Jackson and Guatubaye, who are probably looking at this as, I need to win a starting spot, and I need to perform consistently, and I need to not hope, but if somebody goes down with an injury, I need to go up and immediately be ready to perform to potentially lock myself in for an MLS team that's constantly progressing to challenge, because at my age, like, I'm playing for that next contract in the next couple of years, and it doesn't happen, I'm going to be a journeyman, you know, playing only in USL, which could be fine. They could still earn money, that could be fine, but, you know, there's that taste of still that MLS possibility for both of those guys, but that window isn't completely wide open in the way that Seb Anderson, Abe Rodriguez, and Matt Hundley just have so many years left in order to develop, to be at that point to where they can, you know, do that as homegrowns rather than as drafted players.
It's so difficult. I mean, you bring it up really well. It's so difficult because I think Nicky Jackson has the physical tools to be a really high quality starting striker in Major League Soccer, but it's about touch, and it's about decision making, especially in the final third, that would be unbelievable if they could finally get it. But I don't know whether there's a strong likelihood of that. I don't know whether it's entirely possible that Nicky Jackson eventually turns into that without an injury. And I think the Rapids have been lucky to avoid injuries, but it's always good to have those guys. Ratubaye is a much more difficult choice for me. I have no idea what his ceiling is. He's probably the player on the whole team, including academy players, that I've seen the least of. I mean, I've seen more of Cole Bassett's younger brother than I've seen of Ratubaye, to be honest.
Well, yeah, because I don't think he's made a Rapids debut on a game that you would have been able to watch, Mark. So you would have been, your only chance to see him in a Rapids context would have been last season, ESPN Plus, watching the Switchbacks, yeah, which most of their games were at the exact same time as the Rapids.
And even then, I don't think he was one of the starting center backs. So I think he played some games, but he didn't play all the games at center back. So, or maybe I'm thinking about before he joined the team, so who knows. But yeah, that's my take on them. Matt's now looking up to see whether I'm right. Hopefully I'm right, but maybe I'm wrong. I like to be wrong. By the way, Matt, while you were taking a swig of tea, LAFC scored a third goal.
Let's go!
You'll see it on the replay. It was an insane, like, 30-yard chip from Diego Rossi that hit both parts of the crossbar. He chipped the goalkeeper from like 25 yards out. It's a nutty goal.
Oh, team chaos.
Yeah, but there's 10 minutes left in this game, so it's squeaky bum time for the black and gold.
Absolutely. Okay, clarification here, Mark. Guatubaye only played 11 games on loan with the Switchbacks last season, so I'll say you're certainly in the ballpark in that regard. Shall we get to the preview of the Rapids season opener?
I know,
Mark,
we're holding the really exciting stuff till the very end, and I did my homework, Matt. I'm very excited. Unlike in other last season, you know, there were times where towards the end of the season I was like, who cares? Nobody can watch these games. I don't need to preview this team very much. Let me talk about the three players I know, and I won't even pretend like I know anything about the other eight. But here, I did my homework, Matt. I've read up on it. I've read multiple season previews. I feel good about knowing all about DC United. We are playing all DC right. United, right?
Yes, oh, we are playing God. DC United. Hey listeners, this is Future Red. I wanted to mention something that Mark and I forgot about when we were recording together. We did set up an HDHL league in MLS Fantasy this year, for those of you who play MLS Fantasy and are interested in joining. We tweeted out the invite link on Twitter, and I have that tagged on our Twitter page right now, and I'll be sure to include a link in the show notes as well. Just click on that link, and MLS Fantasy will auto-load and automatically add you to
the league. You don't have to do anything special. It works really well on desktop, especially if you're already logged in to your MLS Fantasy account when you click on the link. If you're doing it from your phone, it might load via your browser of choice rather than the MLS app. So you might have to log in via browser, even if you're already logged in and have your fantasy team set up in the app. So that can be clunky, so beware on that front. If you're having any technical problems or can't find the link or need it, feel free to email or tweet at us. The league is a classic league. MLS Fantasy seemed to be making a limit to the number of people that could join in a head-to-head league, and so we wanted to be inclusive rather than limit it to 20 people or so. So join the league and brag when your pretend soccer team that you fake manage gets more points than my team or Mark's team. Okay, back to the show. Listeners, this coming Saturday at Audi Field in the District of Columbia, United States of America, at 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, the Colorado Rapids will be playing the first game. And then, like, first time chronologically, they have the earliest game on match day one of the 2020 MLS season. Mark, the Colorado Rapids are currently 0-34 through their 2020 MLS season. They are currently sitting tied for first place in the Western Conference with 0 points off of 0 games played, no wins, no losses, no ties, and a goal differential of 0. If you pull up, however, the MLS standings are at MLSsoccer.com, Mark. When teams are tied, they are actually in, did they score again?
I was just saying that the Rapids are like in fifth because they're alphabetically like fifth, aren't they?
So alphabetically, C is the first in the Western Conference. So they're actually first in the Western Conference right now, Mark. Top of the table. They'll be taking on DC United, who are also tied for first place in the Eastern Conference, but alphabetically they are fourth, so barely have a home game right now in the Audi MLS Cup playoffs. 0 points, no games played, no wins, losses, or draws, and no goal differential. All right, I'll finish up this bit, Mark. DC United are kind of similar to the Rapids, Mark. They have a lot of continuity right now in terms of what the team looks like defensively. Brilliant and Steve Birnbaum are going to be their center backs. They obviously have Bill Hamid, who is, you know, I would say a dark horse this season, but should be in the conversation for goalkeeper of the year. And then it's completely new in terms of what things look like offensively. Lucho Acosta, Wayne Rooney both out. Wayne Rooney currently with Derby County. And then all of their big acquisitions in this offseason were acquisitions in the offensive nature. That includes one, Ola Kamara, who came in towards the end of last season, formerly of Columbus Crew, the LA Galaxy, and then some Chinese club that I'm not going to remember the name of that Ola's probably glad that he's not getting coronavirus and playing for. Their big acquisition was Edison Flores, a Peruvian international of Liga MX's Moralia. That's the biggest acquisition in DC United history in terms of transfer fee paid for a player. They obviously have Jamil Assad. Julian Gressel, as we joked about a couple weeks ago, was their big acquisition from Atlanta United because they had to get a charter flight to get a puppy to get likes on social media. So he'll be on the right side. Big loss right now for DC United, Mark. As we found out just early last week, Paul Arriola did indeed tear his ACL, likely out for the entire season, but we don't really care about that for the purpose of this conversation. He's out for this season opener. So we've got two teams that have, I'd say, other than Austin Trusty, relative continuity from the defensive parts. There's two bulldogging, holding midfielders, and there's a lot of question marks in terms of what the attack looks like. You know, for the Rapid side of things, does Robin Fraser be a little bit more pragmatic, given that this is the season opener of the game? The club has, obviously is traveling all the way from California last week to Colorado and then all the way to D.C., so, you know, a pretty long flight path in terms of that. Obviously, they're playing at Audi Field, where DC United plays very, very well. And then, you know, do you just think, okay, let's be pragmatic. Let's go out there, play 4-4-2, get a 1-1 draw, get a 0-0 draw, and then be happy and absolutely take that. On the other side, I'm sure DC United is going to want to try and get a win, but, you know, who's playing at wing for the Rapids? I think, you know, is it Kai Kamara, Diego Rubio? Is it the two of them together? Do we see a Nicholas Benese, an Austin Trusty, a Eunice Nomley debut for the Burgundy and Blue? And if so, how are they deployed and what's that relationship look like? So I see two teams that are pretty solid in what their defense is going to look like. A lot of, not question marks for me, but curiosity in terms of who's playing where and what the offense overall looks like. And in that, I think we could very easily see a boring nil-nil game, or we could see an absolute chaos 3-3 thriller. Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, you said it really well. I think the loss of Lucharoux, Wayne Rooney, and Luciano Costa. Rooney, as you said, back to Derby. Luciano Costa to Atlas in Liga MX. So they picked up a player from Liga MX and lost a player to Liga MX. It's a big switch for them. Edison Flores, first year in the league, starting number 10 for the Peruvian national team. Peru, most exciting connection to the Colorado Rapids. Peru was the team that knocked New Zealand out of the World Cup, and the head coach of New Zealand was Matthew?
Anthony Hudson.
One Anthony Hudson. So Edison Flores, directly responsible for the Colorado Rapids getting Anthony Hudson as their coach in 2018. It's a with the injury to our Paul Arriola, it looks likely that Yamil Assad is going to play on the left with Julian Gressel playing on the right. Gressel could also play at right back. But according to reports, because a lot of their games have been behind closed doors, Ben Olsen has been playing Russell Knaus at right back, which is interesting because Knaus has usually been a midfielder or a defensive holding midfielder. So that's an interesting move. You've got Ola Kamara up top.
And I should add, Mark, that a lot of DC United fans have been shouting for Knaus to get somewhat consideration for the national team from his play last year. I would say I was mildly surprised that he wasn't included in any significant capacity with January camp.
He's a good player at holding the ball, and he's pretty physical. And in bits and spurts, he makes nice passes. But I don't think he's a complete player. And I think what you need from a national team level player is a guy who can do a little bit more than that. But, you know, I think we've seen everything that Russell Knaus is also. Benny's probably going to play a bit of Benny ball with this team. 4-2-3-1, two defensive midfielders, Felipe at one and, Moreno at the other position, Junior Moreno. Good question as to whether they're really good enough. But behind them sits, Steve Birnbaum and Briant, as you mentioned, so it feels pretty good to me. I think the only interesting piece that I can add to this that you haven't really already covered, Matt, is talking about Ola Kamara and how Kamara compares to Wayne Rooney as the number 9. Interestingly enough, if you look at the depth chart or the roster for DC United, they have 12 midfielders listed and one striker or one forward. Their only forward on the roster is Ola Kamara. Kamara in 2018 had 1.24 key passes per game, an expected assists of 0.13, and his expected goals plus expected assists was a 0.58. Wayne Rooney in 2018 was pretty similar on a lot of those numbers, but Wayne Rooney in 2019 was a pretty big drop off on all of those numbers. So Rooney, with only 1.12 key passes per game, that's less than Ola Kamara by 0.12. He was only a 0.3 in expected goals plus expected assists, which puts him at 0.28 below Ola Kamara. So, if your thought is, can Ola Kamara carry water and do as well as Wayne Rooney did in 2019, that's really not the problem. We're fairly certain that Ola Kamara will be better than Wayne Rooney was in 2019. The question is Ola Kamara going to be as good as Wayne Rooney was in 2018? The one thing that Rooney used to do that Kamara's not as used to doing, because Kamara's more of a pure center forward striker, is that Rooney liked to drop back, check into the midfield, and play as kind of a 10 or a false 9. That's not usually Ola Kamara's brand. That being said, like, Kamara is really, so, like, to that effect, Kamara in 2018 had only 0.07 assists per game, whereas Wayne Rooney had 0.27. So Rooney likes to dish the ball. He makes nice passes. The final thing that I'll say on top of that is Rooney needed the ball a lot. Rooney had 46.9 passes per game. Ola Kamara in 2018 only had 25.2. So Kamara probably more of a pure shooter. That means that Edison Flores is going to have to do a lot more distributing at the 10 spot than Wayne Rooney did at the 9. So it's a different look. It's going to be a different thing. I think, you know, it's pretty obvious, but the numbers basically say Ola Kamara for Wayne Rooney is not at all a one-for-one, a like-for-like switch. It will be very interesting to see whether Wayne Rooney, whether the loss of Wayne Rooney and replacing him will be overall a plus. For the Colorado Rapids, to say it better, will they be able to stop Ola Kamara? Will DC United be sloppy in this first game of the season? Will the Rapids be even sloppier? So that first game is a lot about poor finishing. A lot of teams don't finish very well for the first couple weeks of the season. They'll be physical, but the touches will be a little bit wild, a little bit weak. So this is probably going to be an ugly game, a physical game, not as technical a game as we'd like it to be. If the Rapids can get out of there with a 0-0 or a 1-1, they should feel fairly happy. But I do think that the Rapids, as a team that's been playing 4-3-3, and are looking for a more attacking style, will probably be a little bit less boring and humdrum than they always used to be.
I will say that, okay, you did a really good job of kind of breaking down the productivity and the numbers behind comparing Ola Kamara and as a replacement, or, you know, can he replace or make up for the loss of 2018 Wayne Rooney, or at the very least, you know, be an upgrade over 2019 Wayne Rooney, which I think is a fun thought experiment, Mark. But I think this team's going to play completely differently just with the players that they have around them. You know, Rooney was heavily involved in taking the free kicks, you know, certainly all the set pieces. You know, I'd assume Ola, you know, maybe it's Ola Kamara and Flores. Maybe one of those two has kind of duked it out for penalties and everything. But Kamara's going to be a finisher. You know, Kamara's going to be, you know, what Kai Kamara was on this team last year. You know, he's going to be, people are going to shun at this, but just from a systematic standpoint, he's Giassi's artist. Whereas Ola Kamara's job is to get into the advantageous positions, and then it's Assad, Flores, Gressel, you know, João Moura coming down the left flank, and then, you know, when he gets healthy, Paul Arriola providing service to Ola Kamara. Ola Kamara. And it is final at time of recording. Listeners, LAFC has won 3-0 in the second leg over Club Leon, and in that they have won the aggregate score by a score of 3-2. They'll play Cruz Azul in the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. Hashtag Team Chaos. Let's go.
There was also a red card that was just shown. All I could see was the LAFC players celebrating and the ref holding up a red card, and I don't know who it was for, but something bad happened. So that'll be a fun thing to find out tomorrow morning.
All right, so in any case, Mark, like, Ola's not going to be involved in the build-up play. He's not going to be taking any direct free kicks. His job is to get into the box, create space, and it's the job of everybody else to get him the ball. All the service is going through him. Like, this is a team where Kamara's probably getting between, if they have a good year, I'd say between 15 and 20 goals in the season. Flores is your DP number 10, is probably, you know, like 8 and 14, something like that. And then Assad, Gressel, and Paul Arriola individually are, you know, somewhere between, you know, are probably somewhere between 5 and 5 and 8 and 8, or some combination of 10 goal contributions for the whole of the season for me. And so in that, it's going to be more, what's Kamara doing posted up against probably Lalas Abubakar, and then what are Kellen Acosta and Jack Price doing to limit Flores. And then I'm really curious to see, just as another barometer of his own development for Club and Country Mark, if indeed Julian Gressel is lining up at DC United's right, that would match him up on Colorado Rapids' left own
Sam Vines.
Sam Vines. So those are the key matchups that I'm seeing on the defensive side of things. And then on the other side, I think it's all about what Kai Kamara is doing, and then the link-up play with, you know, Yunus Nnamdi trying to avoid the bone-crunching tackles from Juan Felipe. So, you know, just the parallels between these two teams, the players that they have, their positions of strength and positions of uncertainty, I think are going to be really, really interesting, and it's either going to lead to a boring close game or a really exciting close game. With that, Mark, any other thoughts that we have about this DC United preview, or shall we go to predictions?
Seattle and Olympiacos are in Olympia are in penalties.
Wrong continent, Mark.
Yeah, Olympiacos, Olympia. Yeah, Olympiacos knocked Arsenal out earlier today, so they were on my brain. But in penalties, Matthew.
Okay, so Mark, who you got? DC United, Colorado Rapids on Saturday.
But I'm thinking about this game that I'm watching right now. No, just kidding.
Mark, we're doing a podcast. People are listening.
But you're interrupting. This podcast is interrupting my other soccer watching habit. Like I said, I think this game would be a good result for the Rapids would be a 1-1 draw. I feel like I say that almost every year for the opening game of the season. So Raul Ruiz Diaz just Panenka to start that off. So that's pretty cheeky. Yeah, I guess 1-1. But you know what? If the Rapids didn't win this one and lost to DC United 1-0 or 2-0. I wouldn't be that surprised, and I wouldn't be that depressed either. So I'm saying it'd be nice to get out with a draw, but I'm kind of braced for the first game to be an L. Matt, you?
Kind of similarly, I'll take a 1-1 draw on this one, as I said, on RFK Refugees. I don't think it'll be pretty. I think definitely DC United scoring the first goal on this one, but I think a result of any kind, Robin Fraser probably takes that, and all right, that's 1 point closer to the playoffs. Let's move on and get ready for Orlando City. With that, Mark, I do want to mention one thing. You did not hear this now at time of recording, but Wanners FC, Juan Carlos did us a favor over the course of the offseason and updated his intro music, and then I have a bunch of new quotes. So we have a new intro,
what?
Mark, in addition to all the other new things that we have for the start of the season. So I just want to give a shout-out to Juan again for doing that. Check out the stuff on his SoundCloud, Wanners Music. And thank you again. And Mark, you'll have to wait for this podcast to actually come out to see which fun quotes I accumulated from 2019 that I chose to use in the intro.
Phenomenal. Super excited. I hope I actually make it into the intro and Juan didn't just pick brilliant things that Matthew said.
Oh no, you're of course in the
mostly
intro. We're both always in the intro, Mark, but there's some funny stuff out of context that I'm probably gonna have to explain, maybe off air, about things that certain players said with maybe some voices that won't be fully recognizable. So that'll be hilarious. And then with that, let us go to the one Ask HTHL we have. And it's kind of on the one thing that we didn't really preview for the DC United game, Mark, and the reality is that there's a bunch of people who care about the Colorado Rapids who aren't going to be able to watch this game or are going to have to be packed into the Celtic in order to actually make it happen. And so, David, is it Hammer? Is it Hamer? It's H-M-E-R on the last name, so I'm not sure about that. But in any case, Mark, David asks, hashtag AskHTHL. So a horrible thought about KSC and the TV rights for the local viewing of the Rapids just hit me. Could they hold on until 2022 when the MLS TV rights are over with ESPN and Univision? Mark, is there a realistic possibility where the hashtag don't block my altitude standoff extends to the point where the rights just expire, and then MLS in planning for rechanging the landscape of the TV rights just moves completely away from altitude, and it's another big corporate body finally saying, okay, Comcast, Xfinity, you actually have to figure this out. And I'll tack on, Mark, a tweet that I said that I tweeted in joke earlier today. If the Rapids win MLS Cup and nobody in Denver outside those with DirecTV are able to watch it because of the cable standoff, doesn't make sound. Mark, is there a realistic possibility that this is a holdout that just continues until the contract expires? And if the Rapids win MLS Cup, but Rapids fans can't watch it, will it make a sound?
I feel like the Rapids have now decided, or the Altitude has now decided, that they have leverage because they have DirecTV. And so what they can do is what a lot of teams do, which is say, if you care about your team, switch carriers. And what they either know or don't know is that a lot of people are locked into a 12-month contract that they can't break. And also there's a lot of convenience, inconvenience issues that go on with this. So I think waiting till 2022 is unlikely, but also I feel like this is just a terrible business-based decision that is just dragging on forever. But, you know, maybe this is an attempt to break Comcast and Dish completely. I don't know. I think there's one inexcusable piece, which is there's no streaming option. You know, it's the modern era. There's lots of cord cutters. There's people who use Hulu Sports for their stuff. There's Fox Sports Go. There's buying into the Disney Plus, ESPN Plus package. But, like, if you can't stream it, you know, you're missing a huge market. So, I don't know. Seems like a disaster. Update for those of you who like listening to things that have already happened the next day. Seattle has been turned away on two of their penalties right now, and it's looking like, short of total disaster, Olympios is going through in miraculous fashion. The Central American team has pulled one out from the brink. Matt, TV thoughts?
I mean, I just, you know, I kind of said this last week. You said this before we hit the record button. It has since marinated in my brain, and now I think it's relevant to kind of mention to the whole of the listeners. Like, this is something that I think certainly we both care about, because obviously we're writing for informing people who are watching this, and it's extremely hard for a lot of Rapids fans or people who could become Rapids fans to watch this team now, because you pretty much have to have DirecTV or live out of market, which complicates things. And I feel like this is something that isn't going to go away. People are going to constantly be asking for updates or updated thoughts on it, and nothing's really changed. Like, towards the end of the regular season, both of our thoughts really were that, well, the Nuggets and the Avs are going to come on. At some point, there's going to be pressure from the consumer base, the, you know, cable, you know, the sports fans who buy cable providers. And either that or the other pressures, or just the longevity of time, was going to force one side to cave or the two parties to actually come together and actually hash it out. And, you know, we're sitting here towards the end of February. There's, what, maybe 2 months left in the Avs and the Nuggets season. And whatever pressures may or may not be there, real or actualized or perpetuated by Altitude, billboards and, you know, infomercials that they're running at Pepsi Center, haven't moved the needle at all. And so my one thought is those two players were going to get in, the Nuggets and the Avs, and then that was going to force, you know, in one way or another, was going to force a mechanism for this to come to a resolution. And we're now approaching the point where an entire regular season for both of those teams has come, is about to be gone in a couple of months, and there's no resolution. And once we get to the summer, nothing else is really going to change. So I feel like some other big external force has to happen that hasn't happened up till now in order for anything to happen. And I feel like we're just every single, you know, couple of weeks, Mark, we're going to get an Ask HDHL for somebody asking us for potential inside information on whether or not this has been moved or what can change or what we can do. And the reality is I don't think there's anything that can be done. There's not enough people switching DirecTV. There's not enough people calling their Comcast Xfinity rep saying, hey, I can't watch the Nuggets. Hey, I can't watch the Avs. Hey, I'm not about to be able to watch the Rapids opening game of the season, you know, I'm cutting my cord or I'm decreasing my level of service such that that's cutting into your profit margin, to then have to have them document that and not get filtered up the corporate ladder. And so I don't see any immediate resolution in sight. And for one to come, there's going to have to be a significant external force that hasn't happened up till now or is unforeseen to be remotely possible going forward. And in that, I think there's a very real possibility that, okay, people just deal with Penn until the Avs and the Nuggets season ends. Once they get in through the second round, at that point, it's all nationally televised games, so they can watch the important playoff games. Nobody will care in the summer because the Rockies aren't on altitude. And then we're just going to do this all thing again in the fall when the Nuggets and the Avs start up. And, you know, this is, I think there's a real possibility that the paradigm of the last 6 months has just made this a new normal. And people are either cord cutting or using a VPN or whatever, not necessarily legal, good idea for your laptop and viruses are necessary in order to watch those two teams. And I don't think there's a loud of enough population for amongst the Rapids community who care about this and are frustrated with it in order to move any of these two giant, you know, valued at billions of dollars entities. And so I think, like, at this point, both parties are huddling around their toys. They're threatening to go home. And I think we're just going to have to wait for the clock to run out. And then it's up to MLS and the higher powers that be in terms of whether, you know, MLS Live comes back, everything goes ESPN, everything goes something else, everybody actually has local TV deals, and maybe we're just doing this whole thing again this time next year.
I mean, my take is really has been consistent from the beginning. People have argued with me online that it's never going to happen and it's ridiculous, which is Altitude needs to create a streaming service. People have told me that that's not profitable. But you know what's really not profitable, Matt? Having it impossible for people to watch your product, to not watch your basketball team, to not watch your hockey team, to not watch your, soccer team. If nobody can watch it, then they'll forget that it exists, and then eventually they'll stop coming to games. And what you'll see is a slow decline in profit. Another point that people would make in objection to me with saying create a streaming service is either the price point will be too high or that they legally can't do it because they're locked into a relationship with they're still locked into contractual obligations with the two companies that they're feuding with, Dish and Comcast. And my understanding is, you know, rudimentary at best on that, but you've got a billionaire who owns your team and all of your teams. You've got access to all the best law firms in Denver. You know, use it. So set up those streaming services and hire those lawyers and go to war, I say.
Okay, my voice is dying, Mark, and obviously the soccer has ended this evening, and it's getting pretty late for you, so why don't we get out
Beautiful.
Of here? All right, Mark, so...
You want me to take it?
Yeah, why don't you... You take the sponsorship stuff, and then I'll just do the spiel at the end and keep
Beautiful.
It
Beautiful.
Sorry, listeners.
guys, if you want to buy awesome kits with really cool colors for your birthday, for your next bar mitzvah, graduation, for all the groomsmen at your wedding, you want to go with the amazing Icarus FC, do custom kits, all kinds of colors, really cool graphics. You can make it yourself. You can use templates that they have. Go to it. It's awesome. And then also hit up our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves. Again, you can really customize and create, but you can also buy a lot of the amazing designs that they've already created online. It's a great place for supporters groups. It's a great place for fans. This is a really awesome opportunity. Check out the Roughneck Scarves and really enjoy it. You can hit me and check out all my writing on American Soccer Analysis. I also write on USL at Pittsburgh Soccer Now. And my handle for Twitter is soccer_rabbi. You can also email the website. I wish we had a website. That'd be so fancy, Matt. You can also email us. Matt, you give us the email and tell us your handle, and then you can say peace at the end.
Rapids96podcast@gmail.com. And then for me personally, at LWS Matt Pollard on Twitter, and lastwordonsoccer.com. And of course, send us your questions, like David Hammer, at hashtag AskHDHL.
Peace.